All right. You know what day it is and you know what time it is. And oh, yes, it does feel like Tuesday, but it is Sunday. Yes, and I am the boss. I am Boss RJ, and you are listening to the Mission Possible radio show. Yes, yes, yes. And you know, if you're looking at your window, you can see that this is bbsradio.com. And for the next hour or so, just kick back, because I just have to say it. I hope that you all had a great week. I hope that whatever it is that you wanted manifested itself in toot-sweet time. That's right. Yes, the boss be thinking about you all week. I have to let you know something. God's been good to us all. God has been good to us all that we are able to kick back and listen. Yes, on the East Coast, it's 12 midnight. Yes, you're coming into that Monday. And for those of you on the West Coast, it's 9 o'clock. You done already. You're deciding. You're winding it down. And here on the Big Island, I'm watching the sun go down and the moon, which is very little bit left as it goes into the new. Ha! Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. I am so happy to give praise and thanks to the cherisher and sustainer of all. Oh, yes, as we come out of October, out of the harvest, and into November, into the Thanksgiving time. These times are the times when we begin to assess and to begin to understand what it really means to be a resident of planet Earth. You know, I'm serious about it. You know, I'm looking at the news and I'm seeing that all the politicians are starting to jockey for position. It's no longer fun and games anymore. Now we're going to start seeing all of the skeletons come out of the closet. Yes, we go into Halloween. Everybody just give a big boo to the boogeyman, because there's a lot of other things for us to pay attention to than what kind of candy to get those little boogers when they come to the door. When they come to the door, I want you to deny them. I want you to trick me then if you must, but I cannot treat you with this candy. I don't know what I have for you except a tip. Whatever it is you get, don't eat it. Whatever you get, why don't you make yourself one of those little projects that they do in school where you take all the candy, all the kids take the candy, and build yourself one big house and call it the house of pain that you avoided. Because you didn't eat that silly candy. Oh, yes, I want to tell you out there, if you're whiz kids and not fizz kids, you are listening to, I don't know if you're listening. I know here in Hawaii they might be listening because it's not past your bedtime. I'm hoping that I'm speaking to the youth of America and the youth of the world, too, as they surf and they may discover bbsradio.com and say, what is that? Who's talking about candy being bad for me? How can it be bad if they let it out, if they let us all have it? Major corporations say it's good. Eat it. Eat it up. Have holidays. Give it away. Throw it at. It must not be worth nothing if they can give it away, folks. That's what I want to tell you. You see what I'm saying? And you can look. You go to a meeting and you throw some candy out there on the table. See how many people died for it. Oh, yes, that doesn't make it right just because it is. So I want you to understand you're listening to Mission Possible. And guess what, folks? It was so successful last week. If you are listening and wondering, I'm going to let you know Madam Sativa is going to be available for destiny reading. Yes, right over the phone. She's going to read you if you'd like to give her your coordinates. If you'd like to give her coordinates for another person in your life or an event in your life, you can do this. And we can give you some, for lack of a better word, insight, which you know is hosted by Leonard Horowitz, Dr. Horowitz, and Reverend Roxy every Tuesday. That's right. You know, I'm so pleased to tell you that we are going to be joining forces and creating a whole new format for our radio show as we begin to take it even to the next level, which is to really know who we're going to be interrogating and have more exciting guests on as Dr. Len is moving through the world. We're going to get these people in here for a little more say-so. Yeah, you're listening to the music in the background of Scott Huckabee, and it is 528 Love Frequency. You can find out all about that by just dialing into the .coms that you're so familiar with. That's right. Just go on down there to the archives and check it out, folks. You know, it's really important that you do that. You know, because my boss is all wise. My boss is worthy of your look-see. That's right. Who's my boss? Why, God is my boss. I take my orders directly from the boss. I can't serve two masters, and neither can you. You have a decision to make, and they say the time of absolute certainty never comes. It is interrupted by things called decisions. Doesn't that make sense, listeners? That it is time for us to make a decision. Oh, other people are making decisions. People are making decisions on foreign policy, on domestic policy, as it all goes. And yet, you know, last week I told you how much gold and silver is worth. Something's happening in the world, because today the boss has to report that silver is $14.32 of the minute as the tick, tick goes, and $7.92.20 right now. Closely matching that 1980 price. Something's happening. And the dollar, folks, it's not like I'm gloating, but I've been telling you, and if you listen to the archives, and you should listen to the archives, a prophet is only as good as the predictions that they predict in a timely fashion. And all I've been telling you is this, that the value, which has held since time memorial, is holding and going to support those who are focusing. It is not a question for me as to whether or not gold is going to skyrocket. It is a question for me as to what I'm going to do with all them useless dollars that it's worth. You see, it's all a game, and you play it and you wonder, how does it end? Well, it doesn't end, folks. That's the wisdom of the mind. Whatever it is you are invested in, you are locked in. And tomorrow morning, Monday, there's going to be some big changes for some people. It was October 29th a long time ago, and it's October 29th tomorrow. These are signifying monkeys coming up to bite us on the you-know-what as we begin to see. And now, Argentine, don't cry for me. You got a first lady now. She's done declared that she is the winner. Argentina has a woman president as of today. Oh, my goodness. And Obama, what is he doing? He's going to heat up Hillary. That's what he's going to do. He's going to heat up Hillary. He's going to make her have to discuss some things and understand that this is a serious race. Now, as he steps it up, I'm hoping that Dennis also steps up to the plate and we can take this to a wide open, rollicking, riotous, righteous convention. This is the truth of the matter. We have got to open it up. As Nixon said a long time ago, if you pick that scab, well, I guess we just going to have to pick it. And it looks like somebody going to pick this ugly scab. And when it opens up, oh, my goodness. But clarify yourselves on a lot of things. But clarify yourself on the fact that there is a omission that is happening here. And we, the people, have to somehow or another make these folks tell us what's really going on, you see. It's important that we understand lawyers, you see. Lawyers like to omit things. If they get by without telling you something, they got all kinds of rules of discovery for each other. But if they can, I know some of you out there can relate to it, where your lawyer says, oh, I'm on your side, I'm on your side, I'm on your side, and he over there on the other side making a deal that might get you a little bit less, or might just acquiesce, or you can just go on ahead and they think that they done did their best, but they're always making deals. That's why we can't have a president. We can't have a president that's willing to make deals, you say. This is why I'm kind of like going for the Kucinich. I'm going for the Dennis, who might just be the menace at the convention. I mean, if we really want to test this thing called democracy, this mirage, we have got to test it at the level in which we can get our input in, and that's the convention, you know. And both parties are just expecting us to just all show up and watch the ooh and the fireworks and the whole thing. Oh, and they'll have some kind of meeting, and then they'll and kiss and make up. This is what we can't let them do. They cannot kiss and make up. The senators cannot kiss and make up. They got to step up to the plate, and they got to tell what they know, or they have to go down, you see. They have to step down. Now, that's a lot of that been going on, you know, attorney generals. We got all kinds of people, nominees, and these nominees, you know, you read and you go, well, what question is there about torture? Oh, you got to define torture. Okay. Well, anybody out there want to define it? You could just call in on the number. You know it's rushing across your screen if you're listening to BBS Radio, or just go there and find the number. I'm at a disadvantage here tonight. I got no glasses. I know. I can take those colloquialisms. I can stand down. I can talk the correct way, or I can talk. And tonight, without being able to see, I feel like a child. So it's like, for me, I'm just going to tell you what's going on in your world and why it's going on in the world. And as I speak, it just goes up and up and up. So what do you do? What do you do when you see the signs and you see everybody lining up? What do you do? Now, I'm looking at one time, I'm pick up a magazine and it says breast cancer has been conquered. And then I look and I see that the president's lady is over in the Middle East. Dealing with breast cancer, not hers, but other people's that they done gave it to them over there. You know, now Arabs not only have to worry about the DU, but they also got to worry about the stigmatism of having breast cancer. Oh, my goodness, they just keep on going. You know what I call it, folks? It's like thoughtless news. What's important? What's your relationship to the boss? That's what's really important is how, what side are you standing these days when you look around your room, your house, your family? What are you telling your children about the future? What are you telling them about the now? Can you explain all this chaos and uncertainty? Can you explain how it's going to be kind of hard for you to give them the things that they need this Christmas because you got subprime loans and all kinds of things that you got to deal with? Will they understand? I hope so. I really do. That you all sit your children down and tell them how maybe you thoughtlessly, or perhaps not with a lot of thought you could amass a fortune. That's what the world was all about, was amassing a fortune and then being able to be comfortable in your old age and to be good to your children. But it ain't like that. You eating top ramen and you're wondering whether or not you have enough money for gas to get in your car to get to the job interview. This is the reality of a lot of people. Now, everybody has the wherefore to just relax and just pick and choose their opportunities. And even though they say, like I said, opportunities are never missed, other people get them. Yeah, it's just like decisions. You got to make one, you got to get one. And I'm not preaching no doom and gloom. I'm just saying, you know, you can feel the pressure. And then on top of all of that, we got a government who's done drawn the line in the sand, you know, has knocked that chip off my shoulder. I dare you, nuclear power plant. Okay. Oh, they might develop a weapon. Oh, okay. They may develop a weapon. How many weapons have we developed? And how many of those weapons are now in the hands of the people that we know are going to use them? And we want them to use them, because this is exactly how America is going to get taken back. These people, like I told you, had never got over losing that their Revolutionary War, and they never got over losing that war in 1812, and they certainly don't like the way the Civil War ended, even though Texas, a Confederate state, came out okay and was the only one to benefit from that Civil War, really. And that money, which you now see is all up in the White House, you know, when you can trace your history, when you can look at it, folks, and that's why I have Mission Possible, because one day, y'all, you know, I just got finished watching this here movie, Yes Men. They're on it, but I don't know just how much, you know, they needed some women in there, too. You see, this is what happens when men get together. They're effectual and all, and it's all cute and everything, and then they go, oh. But I'll tell you, the Yes Men need a few women in their colleague and work with the women too, because there's other things that need to be said that men can't say. You know, only women know what those things are that men can't say. You know, and men can say things that women can't say. Well, that's not true, because we've got Condoleezza Rice now, and she's able to say a lot of things that men used to say. And I guess she learned it from like Margaret Thatcher and other people like that. You know, older my years, people like that. I know a lot of you might be saying, who the heck is Golda Meir? But go ahead and look. This is the woman who come to New York City in Harlem and cook for people, you know? This is Golda Meir. She was like the woman from Israel, one of their prime ministers. She was a very nice lady, they say. You go to her house, she cooks for you and everything. This is the kind of people that used to run Israel. Well, you know, we know why it is in Israel, you know, so that there could be a partitioning of Palestine, you know, so that they could keep those shipping lanes open. We know why we have to go to Iran. We have to go there to make sure that the people that we've sent over there to do all that they do, to pretend that they are the other side, which is really us. It's so convoluted, folks, that I don't understand how any of the Congress or the senators can even begin to make decisions on where we're going to go or what we're going to do and how much money it's going to take for us to do it, because they don't know the history. And if you don't know the history, then you just might be sending this beautiful country, which could have been beautiful, but now it's kind of like limping along. Because let me tell you something, folks, this here money thing is really big. This is really big. Everybody's counting on it, but you know, there was a time in October, there was a time when the men said, this is it, no more game, we're going to just crash it, collapse, just like the Trade Center, collapse. Well, ATMs don't work, banks don't work, what you going to do, how the money comes, where's the money come from, how do you cash your checks, where's this, what is this? At any moment, folks, and that's what's so incredible about this, it is so delicate, this here economic situation that we are living. That's why I'm trying to really just kind of like take a Louisville slugger and just bang you over the head and say, when you're looking in that wallet, when you're looking at that plastic, or you're looking at them dollar bills, or when you're looking at that coins and all of those things that you have laying in the drawer, know that is stored up wealth that is diminishing. It is diminishing every day. So I have been saying it. I will say it again, America. Get yourself the things you need, but they won't be available very long. We know what is getting ready to happen. The prophets, it might be like doom and gloom. No, it stopped. We're not making as many things as we used to make. The cities have been depopulated and are going to be depopulated. We're going to see urban centers and malls and things just with for sale signs and for rent signs and going out of business signs and I can't keep up signs and all kinds of things. This is what it's all about, folks. You know, shipping's going up. Price of oil is going up. $92 a barrel. I don't invest in oil. I just don't see it, but they now don't want our dollars for the oil, so soon they're going to want the gold. And so then, you know, it's a whole other thing. And I know my government is nasty enough to want to confiscate it, but they won't have to confiscate. I gladly give it to them as long as they give me a receipt. I just want a receipt, and I want to be able to leave. And if I have enough money, know that there's a country out there that says, oh, you paid your bill. Thank you very much. The third world, thank you, and everybody thanks you for paying your bill. I said, yeah, I paid my bill, and my friend paid her bill. Could she come too? You know, and we get on the spaceship, and we just leave. That's it. There's another Earth out there. You know, you all know about the double Earth theory. I kind of like to think of it as like odd and even, and like the where one starts and the other one ends is like really there's no way to tell. That's exactly how I see the double Earth theory. That I may be in the other Earth, and I certainly am. And in the Earth that I am in, I hold a vision of beauty. I hold a vision of what Peter was talking about in his epistles when he's talking about God and he's talking about the Christ and the light. And once you've seen the light, you know light from dark. Once you see him, you can't confuse the two. And one can't tell you it's the other and the other the other. That's exactly how it is. It's so simple, folks. If you could just pass the word on. You know ugly when you see ugly. And ugly is full of hate. And ugly is full of everything that you can't even begin to think of ugly. You know ugly, you know. But a lot of times we have trouble because we're always hoping that ugly will turn beautiful. And that may be, but that's going to take a really bright light. Well, that's kind of way the light is that the Christ came down. That's the kind of analogy that we're trying to get to, that we're trying to get to the fundamental questions that, no, nah, folks, when you start saber-rattling and you start thinking that God's on your side and that you can march off to war, you're not in the Christ, you're not in the light, you're in the darkness. You're blind. You can't even begin to see the light because you're just blinded by the hate And by the power and the whole nine yards to go with it, touchdown, you just realize it's important for us to understand. And for those of us who are in the light, you know, it's hard. And it's really, really hard sometimes to maintain that light because the darkness is really dark. That's why you join forces. And the forces of the light is going to join in. It's going to illuminate the world. Oh, yeah. That's exactly how I know it's been. That's exactly how I know it's going to be. And you can see it. You can see it. You can feel it. And you want to encourage it. Back that darkness up. Back up stupid. You know the boss got the code word for stupid. Satan, stupid. All these people that are following the darkness. Putting all their stores in the darkness. Well, they certainly aren't going to be disappointed. Yes, yes, yes. We're coming out of October into November, and you know the boss is going to be talking about her favorite thing to talk about when it comes to November. Talk about crime. Well, yeah, we will be looking back at the assassination of the past. Like I said in our family poll, many have been sent with a good word your way, and many you killed in a variety of ways. Others you have mocked and locked away America. Well, yes, there are many, many people who have done absolutely nothing sitting in jail, folks, and we got to get them out. They don't deserve to be there, and so we got to get them out. Political prisoners have to be released. If this truly is a democracy, we should be hearing from these folks. We should be knowing about what happened to these folks. And one of my favorite people to be asking about, I have to go and check and see if he's still alive. His name's Hugo Pinnell. I'd really like somebody to let him out. He ain't no threat to nobody, except for the fact that they know they can't let him out, because to explain and let him out is to have to explain why he was in so long. That's what it's all about. They're hoping that we forget. That's the way the Nazis operated way back when, you know. They understood. If you tell a lie long enough and convincingly enough and you say it often enough, it'll be the truth. And that's the lie becomes the truth, and then everybody operates on it. And no manner of people that come along to try and reverse that with God's truth, they seem to be blind to it. And that's when God says, you know, hey, let me give you a little instruction about that. You cannot beat yourself over the head, and you cannot beat your brother over the head, because the brother want to go toward the darkness. You just maintain your light. Maintain the light. Keep it bright. Maybe they'll turn around. Maybe they will. Because you can't have, got to have that repentance. You got to be able to be humble. And that's one of the things in America got to learn to be, is humble. Now, we've been following the wrong crowd, and for some reason, the band fair and the fanfare and everything, everybody guilty of omission. Everybody understand that what we got the way we got is because we let these men run this world. And see, that's not how it's supposed to be. We're all supposed to instinctively know what it is to do, which is to love one another. And if we love one another, then everything comes from the one, cannot come from the darkness, it comes from the light, because God can't be anything but that, you see. Now, it's man, and the Antichrist, that can tell you that God also can be, you know, can kill, and God can do this, and God can do that. That's not true. And when you begin to believe like that, then the darkness sees in, and you behave like that, because you are an image and a likeness of God. So if your likeness of God is a vengeful God, then you will have vengeance in your heart. If your heart is open to vengeance, then it'll be open to evil. And if it's open to evil, then it's open to stupid. And if it's open to stupid, you find yourself on the other side of what? If you're riotous, that's the way stupid is riotous. But if you are on the side of the light, the boss has to tell you, that's where the word righteousness comes from. You see, you got riotous, righteousness. Which are we going to be? Right now, our president, oh, poor metal brain that he is, and the influence he got. Got no counsel. He got nothing. You know what I'm saying? He just flounders, which is what he does best anyhow, too. They wind him up and give him the right codes and frequencies to say the things that he needs to say, which are always disingenuous. I mean, you know, even the whole way they're dealing with the fire, like trying to compare the fire to the Katrina, and I keep trying to tell them, don't be China. You know, you can't shoot our rain, you can't bomb our snow, you can't stop our earthquakes or our volcanoes, typhoons, tornadoes, hurricanes, flood, destruction, it's all the same. Well, when you say that you can't stop it, that's when the Bush administration and everybody want to stop. You see what I'm saying? like you said, he wished that he could control the winds. Well, they do in a way. And when you look at, you know, the other thing I want everybody to do is in Mission Possible, you know, you all need to review this Star Wars Strategic Defense Initiative that was back in the 80s, you know, and what they did with all those lasers that they put in place and stuff, because, you know, those lasers could be turned on us, you know. They don't necessarily have to be shooting ballistic missiles out of the sky. I know y'all think, boy, that's really going from one end to the other, but that's exactly how life is. It's discursive in its thought. That's how Mission Possible is. And if you don't understand, then you have to listen again. Let me play it back for you. There is a connection between Star Wars and fires that we can't seem to explain and winds and general stirring up of the universe. And that's a scientific thing to take a whole show for me to deal with, and maybe that's a nice show that we can do. Yeah, this is Mission Possible, and you are listening to The Boss, and it is BBSRadio.com. I don't know if there's any listeners out there, but I'm going to open it up because I have and will have and am going to have very shortly a discussion with Madame Sativa. That's right. She's going to tell us what card day it is today and what card day tomorrow is going to be and how it may influence your life. That's what I'd like to do, is give you a gift of what it is and how good it is. Is she around? Are you around there? Can I get you to pick up the phone and let's get into a little community? Hello?
Hi, RJ.
Oh, my goodness. There she is, Madame Sativa, card reader supreme. I haven't heard the beep yet, but I thought I'd ask you, what was the Bible today? This was Sunday, you know?
Okay, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome.
Beautiful. Today, we are in the hearts. Mm. And the hearts come at the end of October. And November 1st, we'll immediately go into diamonds. But right now, we're in the hearts. And this is all the love and emotions. Seven of Hearts is the card day that rolled today. And the Seven of Hearts is really the universal love card. This is all about tapping into how much we love each other unconditionally, just the love that comes from our very being. The seven are all spiritual numbers, and the Seven of Hearts has come to learn about spiritual love in this world. And the rising of today, we are in Scorpio, so we have a heart rising, the Jack of Hearts. So it was a double heart today. And yeah, that's Seven of Hearts. You're rising, RJ.
Uh-huh. So in terms of what's been going on today, did you find that the vibe of today was pretty much along the card reading? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was a pretty mellow day for me, for sure, but I'm not really sure in that way. I don't know, actually.
Well, how about tomorrow?
Okay, tomorrow, October 29th, that's the Six of Hearts. And the sixes are all about karma. And so today, tomorrow, is the Six of Hearts Family Karma Day tomorrow. People will be getting their karma. And like that was, you were saying October 29th was the day the stock market crashed?
I think so, yeah, I think it was.
And so that was on, it happened on Karma Day. Christmas is also Six of Hearts. So on Christmas is also Family Karma Day, when you find out how much you are loved or how loving your family is or what the karma of your family is. It's Christmas.
So how do people behave when it's in hearts?
Well, in hearts, they're more emotional. You know, there's more diamonds and clubs born in the year. It's based on your month and your day. And the diamonds and the clubs, they kind of rule the world. They're the most born, diamonds and clubs. The hearts and the spades, they're very few born every year. They're the minority, and the hearts are the fewest born. So these are special people coming here to learn about emotional love, emotional things. The hearts are the babies as well. They're the first cards that we are in the whole cycle as hearts, and then we go to clubs. They're kind of the adolescents. Diamonds are the adults. And spades are the elders of the clan. And so when you get a bunch of diamond people around, and diamonds like to hang out with diamonds and hearts like to hang out with hearts, you know, diamonds are the adults. They want to be the adults in the situation. Clubs are the adolescents, we're the thinkers, the clubs. And hearts are the babies. And a lot of this stuff it's so good to, when you start to learn about it, to really look at your relationships in your life and look at what card you are and what card the relationships that you have in your life are. For a lot of us, if we had a great relationship with one of our parents but not such a great relationship with the other parent, it's important to know what cards everybody is so you can understand what planets you share, and that maybe you didn't get along with one of your parents because you share a difficult planet. You share Saturn together, and so there's a lot of criticism between you. So it really helps you understand the nature of your relationships when you start to understand everybody's different cards. And if anybody wants to call in, last week was very fun doing the readings, and I can let you know what cards you are, and if you want to call in with dates of someone you like or someone you don't like and want to know if you know the month and the day that they're born, I'll be able to do their... tell you what card there is and what planets you share.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping that somebody will call in. This is BBSRadio.com, and you're listening to Mission Possible Radio, and I have Madam Sativa here, and she is going to be kind of sticking close to here on the phones, and if we hear a beep, we'll come in. I find the whole subject matter very, very exciting. I can ask Madam Sativa, I ask all the time, what kind of vibe is today, and I'll find that something that is going on, it brings me understanding. There seems to be either a warning or an appreciation or something that you can look forward to and say, oh, today it's my day and I'm going to have, you know, and you can look for it. It's a lot of times, a lot of what we want is right there in front of us and we just don't appreciate it. We don't see it. And so therefore, sometimes in knowing the card day or knowing the vibe that you're in or the period that you're in, you can then begin to set and fine-tune your receptors to accept all that is coming. Yeah? Wouldn't you say so, Madam Sativa?
Yeah. When you look at the cards, it's unbelievable the code book that the deck of cards are. They're really, like I was saying last week, they're really not a deck of cards. They're actually a code book for our different frequencies. Everybody's a different frequency emitting the frequency of their card, which connects them to the different planets. And so you can take the cards and you can generate these lines of destiny for every year of your life. Not to say that everything is being directed by the cards, but it's putting you on a certain path. For some years, there'll be, and you can make these charts with the cards. You can see like what your 27th year is. Oh, well, you have a lot of fives in your 27th year. That means there's going to be a lot of change for you that year. Another year, you'll have a lot of sixes, which are really monotonous kind of cards. They like the same. They don't like change. And so that year, you'll really be, whatever you're doing, good or bad, you'll be stuck there for the year. And so it allows you to understand, and also it allows you to understand in retrospect what's happening. Like you look at a year that was really bad for you, it's bad in the sense of having loss. You feel like, well, you lost your job that year, you lost your relationship, whatever. You go back and you look and you see the nines on your chart that year, and you realize this was the year that the universe was really asking you to let go of certain things, things that may have been good for you for a long time, but they're no longer good for you anymore, and so you have to let them go. So when you look back at stuff, it kind of explains it in retrospect. You can look back. It's hard to predict when you're first looking at it, but then when you really start to see, when you really start to remember that year, you look at your pinnacle year. Everybody has one pinnacle year where the whole, whatever their life has been accumulating to up until that moment, that year is really going to express that. And so you can look back, and it's kind of a guidebook for different things like that.
Well, here's something. I also recognize the fact is that you were doing something that was Chinese, and it had to do with numbers and it had to do with personality types. Could you explain a little bit of what you were doing there with the different lines of prosperity and stuff? What was that about?
Okay.
And there was some correlation between it and the cards. It almost seemed like the same thing was predicted as you predict for the cards. Wasn't there something?
A lot of these systems are similar in origin. The tarot and the deck of cards are where you can do readings with them, and you come up with a lot of the same readings. With the Chinese, there's two ways. It's very important for people to look at their Chinese animals. what animal are you and who is in your trine, what animals do you get along best with, or what animals don't you get along with. I was talking to someone who didn't get along with one of their parents, and they actually are the enemies in the Chinese. Their animals are life enemies. So it's really good to look at everybody's animals, who do you get along with. And then the Chinese numerology that you're talking about, the book that I was looking at, it has these charts, and this is where they say they got these. This one chart was off the turtle's shell, where there's like a kind of a square and then boxes. And they use these boxes where they put in people's date of birth. They put the numbers in certain ways, and if you have like a whole three of the boxes are full, that row is full, then it can be the arrow of determination or the arrow of prosperity. You can also have the arrow of confusion and the arrow of loneliness. My friend, her mother had the arrow of loneliness. Her father had the arrow of apathy, and she was born with the arrow of confusion. You know, it's kind of interesting. And these are just all guides. These are guides for us to help us understand our nature and our destiny as we move and groove in the world.
You also do a little palmistry, isn't that not right?
It's a little palmistry. That's also a guide. And the palmistry is really brain writing. You know, some people think that palmistry, oh, it's, you know, the gypsies, there's no credibility to it. But actually, palmistry is your brain writing on your hand. How do you feel about love? You look at your love line. Is it long? What finger does it point to? You know, how do you feel? How are your thoughts? How are you thinking? Is your headline, they call it the headline. This will tell you a lot about how a person thinks. If it's going straight across the palm, you're very practical. If it's bending down towards your luna, your imagination area, then you can see a person who has a lot of imagination. If it goes too far into luna, it's an indication of illness with the head. You can look at your lifeline. Although it says in a lot of the books that it's not good to really predict, oh, you have a short lifeline, you're going to live short, you know, you're going to die early, or you have a long lifeline. They say more it's the vitality of the line. Is the line thick? Is your lifeline, are you really living life? Are you really making a groove in your palm? Or is your line faint? You know, are your lines in your hand really faint? You're not putting enough energy into your life. Is it red? You know, really people have tempers and have anger problems. They have red lines. And then you look at the condition of the line to see, you know, does it have dots in it? Does it have little islands? You know, does it have X's? You know, X's on the palm mean a lot of the same way that, you know, X's on your school paper meant. You know, it's like you've gotten the wrong answer. Some event is really created in your life and you've created an X on your palm. And then also the shape of the fingers and the nails also tell a lot about a person, the way we grow our fingers. The pointer finger and the ring finger should be roughly the same size, come to the same height, with the middle finger being longer. If your pointer finger is really short compared to your ring finger, that's a self-esteem issue. If your ring finger is a lot longer and coming up towards your middle finger, that's really someone who really needs to express themselves. So it's different things like that. And I love your palms, RJ. Your lines are very deep and very vital, and your hands are very beautifully shaped like an artist. The fingers are long.
I know. We probably have everybody out there looking at their hands right now, which is important to do for the clues. It says, we fill the earth with clues, you know, and the clues are there, all right there in our faces, in our bodies. I mean, even you are now starting to read faces and bodies. I mean, it's so much information that can come to us without a person opening up their mouth, without saying words. You just have to know how to interpret them. And that can be a fun hobby. I mean, that can really be something to get into because it takes you into people and it allows you to then see each individual and to see the comparisons and the likenesses and the differences in folks and to begin to reaffirm that which has been a science. I guess you could call palmistry a science just like numerology and all the rest of them. It gives us information, and we need that information to make good decisions. And what is the time of absolute certainty? It never comes. It's interrupted by things called decisions, and we out there need to make one. And you out there need to make one, too, because it's like, you got 15 minutes. I'm hoping that somebody wants a reading. If not, that's just the way it is. They might just want to stay not knowing, but or get yourself to the, what do you call it, to the Borders or whatever bookstore, Amazon.com, and start looking up some of these books on palmistry and Chinese astrology and begin to start educating yourself. Isn't that what you did? That's what you were doing, Steve, but you didn't start out this way wanting to read cards and all of that. Isn't that not right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I found the Robert Camp books, like I was saying last week, I found them at the dump, and that's how I got into it, you know, quite by accident. But in a way, I had always been looking for something like that, where you could take a person's month and day, you could take their coordinates of where they came in, and then you could give that person understanding and enlighten them in something in their life destiny. So that was very interesting to me, and then to find the cards is really a great system to do that. I was also thinking back to the Chinese numerology we were just talking about the chart that they got off the turtle's back.
Great.
And they were saying in this book that, you know, for the people who were born in the 90s...
Oop, we got a call. Who's out there?
Hi. My name is Marcia.
Hi, Marcia.
Hi, I was hoping that maybe you could give me a quick reading. I'm sorry, I know there's not much time.
I'd love to. What's your birthday?
7/9/59.
Okay, 59. First of all, this is your year. You know that, the year of the boar, the year of the pig. When you were born, it was year of the pig, and it's now year of the pig again. So you're on one of your 12-year cycles. When you were born, it was pig year. When you were 12, it was pig year 24, 36. It goes on every 12 years.
Okay.
And then when you reach your 60th, that will be a completion of one cycle. Okay, and so then you said 7, that's July 9th?
Mm-hmm.
You said July 9th? Okay, July starts with the 8th. So 1 minus 9 is 8. So you're 6, and your card is the 6 of diamonds, and your rising is the 8 of clubs. The 6 of diamonds is the athlete's card. Although you don't have to be athletic, it's the card that knows how to push exactly how much energy is coming at them. They can push back at that exact energy. They can gauge that, and that's why that makes many of them athletes. You're also the number of karma itself, the 6, and this is important to you, cause and effect. The 6 of diamonds, you have a certain prosperity that's your birthright in this world because you're born on the Jupiter line. And the Jupiter line is one of abundance, and you live all your 12-year cycles out on the Jupiter line. So many 6 of diamonds have a certain amount of abundance coming. Okay, so now we said you were 159, so you're 48 this year, yes?
Right.
Okay, I'm going to go into Robert's book, and I'm going to look at the 6 of diamonds in their 48th year and see what's going on for them. Okay, you just placed the 10 of spades this year, so you've got a work thing happening. You have a lot of fives on your chart this year, and fives are the number of change. So you might be feeling a little restless this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you are?
Yes.
Yeah, fives really give you that energy to make those changes that you need to make. And you have 2 5 of diamonds and 1 5 of clubs. So the 5 of diamonds is all about changing your workplace, your home place, changing things. And the 5 of clubs is really about changing ideas and changing attitudes. So the universe is asking you to change this year, and it's giving you some good change cards in order to do that. You have the 10 of spades as your displacement card, and that's a real work card. And so I wanna quickly go to his interpretation of the 10 of spades, displacing the 10 of spades, because your displacement card, let's see. Okay, we'll look at that. 10 of spades, you just place it. It says, this will likely be a year of hard work for you and one in which you may have to make some difficult choices between your work and time spent at home and with family. When the 10 of spades occurs, we have the opportunity to accomplish a great deal. However, we often take on so many projects that we feel weighted down by all the work we have to do, to the point that we begin to think that we do all we do is work, work, work. For those who are very goal-oriented and career-oriented, this could be good. But even in these cases, it could be too much at times. But somehow, hard work and accomplishments of important goals is a major theme this year, one in which you will have to deal with and spend more energy than you might expect at other times. Is that happening for you at all?
Yeah, that's sure. And by year, does that mean that it would be through the end of December, a calendar year?
It actually goes on your birthday.
Okay.
And every line of destiny is from birthday to birthday. So start on your birthday and will end again on your birthday.
Gotcha. Okay.
52 days before your birthday, everybody enters into Neptune. And this is the planet of fantasy. And so this, I always tell people, very bad time to ever make decisions is when you're in your Neptune, 52 days before your birthday.
Hmm.
And, of course, that's the time everybody wants to make decisions. But this is, yeah. And for your long-range card, Robert says in his book, when you're doing readings, to look at people's long-range cards. And that's almost the first thing, because that really tells you the whole flavor of your year. And your long-range card is a 5, which is that change card, that restless card, and it's a 5 of diamonds. And so that's going to influence you all year long. It says this, the 5 of diamonds is your long-range card. This will be an important year of transition for you that you will that will leave you in an entirely new place by your next birthday. So it's really just started for you this year. And so by your next birthday, and it might happen right before your next birthday, a fundamental change in what is most important to you will be likely to be the major cause, will be likely to cause major changes in your job, approach to money, and even relationships. You could even move to a new location during this powerful transition. Since our lives are basically structured to provide us with the things that we deem most important, when this inner picture of what is important to us changes, our exterior world has no choice but to follow suit. To get the most out of this year, allow the changes to flow in your life without trying to know exactly what lies ahead. When you are in transition, you must change and depart from what has been, and the future is not always clear. But there are always clear skies ahead, just beyond what we see. It would be wise to expect changes and to not make big commitments until after your next birthday.
Okay.
There's yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
That's a lot.
yeah.
Do you have
anybody? Well, but it sounds like that even though it's a year of really hard work, it sounds like there's a pretty good change coming up.
A change that's been due. That's right. A change that's coming for you, and that 5 is going to give you the energy to make that change, where in other years you wouldn't have that influence of the 5 on your line. Do you have any dates of people in your life that you're curious about what planets connect you?
Yes, Vipa and B, my mother, which is 7/5/34.
Okay, 34, 44, 45, 46, 56, 57, 58, 68, 70. So she's dog. That was her year last year. And then she said July 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So your mom is the 10 of diamonds, 10 of hearts. She's a double 10.
Mm.
That's very impressive. Tens are the cards of success in this world. She was very successful. You both live on the same line. You're the 6 of diamonds. Your mother's the 10 of diamonds. And I just want to check that. Yeah, the Jack is the 4th. Yeah, the 10 is the 5th. You guys were close?
Yes, more in our later years, more recently, not as much early on.
Okay. You, in heaven, you guys connect through Jupiter, so there's a certain amount of abundance that you shared, that you gave each other, that she enjoyed giving you abundance, and that's good to have that relationship with mother and daughter. On the life spread, you're connected through Mars, which is the passions planet. And Mars, those passions can run incredible love, incredible hate, you know, passion.
Mm-hmm.
And so there can be arguments when you get to Mars. You know, Mars is a difficult energy to hold with somebody because it is so passionate. But the best thing for you and your mom in that way is to do activities, to have done activities together, because that really manifests the Mars. Now, I'm going to look in Edith's book, and I want to see what Edith says when the Six of Diamonds meets the Ten of Diamonds and see if it's accurate for you guys. Okay, a good working relationship that can cause you problems only if you permit it to. And they're talking to you. What happens when you meet this card? These natives have strong money-making abilities that you may envy. Use the involvement to help, not hinder. And I can't say exactly what happens when your mom meets you, because they're on your life path, actually, on the chart.
Sure.
And if I could know what your father's birthday is?
My father's birthday is 2/9/35.
35. 67, 57, 58, 9. Oh, so he's pig as well, like you.
He is what?
He's also born in the year of the pig.
Okay.
So when he had you, he was on one of his 12-year cycles. He was 24.
I see.
Okay. 36. So you said 2/9?
Mm-hmm.
February 9. February starts with 11. So you go Jack 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. Okay. So your father was the 3 of spades. Okay, for your mother, this is a huge card. This is actually her fantasy card in life. This is the card that holds her up on the chart of life. Her card is in the center, and your father's card is sitting right underneath her, holding her up.
Hmm.
And they're fantasy connected. Let's see. Did they stay married and everything?
Yes, uh-huh.
They did, uh-huh.
Maybe not so happily.
Not so happily, yeah. Well,
no.
You know, when you have a fantasy about somebody, it's hard to be in the same place with them, because sometimes they don't live up to all your fantasies about them.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It says, when the Ten of Diamonds meets the Three of Spades, it says, someone whom you may never be able to understand, but who will never do anything to hurt you, an erythral-type person who may seem spaced at times, talking about the Three of Spades, your father, believing but always writing endings on situations and people. Friendship is fine, that says, but don't attempt anything else without close scrutiny. Your father was a very creative card. He's the most creative card in the deck. And sometimes they can't handle all the creativity they have, but other times they can work it. You're actually not connected to your father's card. In this world, you're not connected, but let me look in heaven on the chart. No, you were closer to your mother than your father?
Yes, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're really connected to your mother's chart. Your mother's connected to both you and her husband. She's kind of the center in that. But yet you and your father are not connected, except you're both born in the Boar year. You're both Boars, which will give you a certain similar nature.
Could I ask you real quick about my partner's date?
Yeah, please.
4/7/56.
Okay, 56, 66, 67, 68. Okay, he's monkey. Monkey and pig. Oh, how fun. Okay, 4/7?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's April 7th. So April starts with a 7. Oh, he's the Ace of Spades. Could it be? Let's see. Yeah. Okay, he's also a spade, and his rising is the 5 of Spades. Okay, I see the connection now. And let me look in the heaven chart on spiritual spread. Okay, and in heaven you guys touch. Okay. We all have two cards. The Six of Diamonds is your card, and that's who you are inside. But the face you show the world is the Eight of Clubs.
Is the Eight of Clubs?
Is the Eight of Clubs.
Okay.
Now your honey or your partner, he's the Ace of Spades, a fabulous card. And his rising is the Five of Spades. He's a double spade. Now, what's happening here between you guys, on the charts at least, is that You're very connected to the face he shows the world, Five of Spades. That's your Venus card on the diagonal. There's a lot of love there. He's very connected to the face you show the world, the Eight of Clubs. They're Venus connected on the vertical. So you've fallen in love with the face he shows the world, and he's fallen in love with the face you show the world. Your two cards are actually not connected. He's connected to your face you show the world. You're connected to his face you show the world. See that?
Mm-hmm.
I see that in many, many relationships. You really fall in love, and still can work, you know, still fine. But yet, that's what we're dealing with there. You're very connected to the Five of Spades, his rising card. And he's very connected to the Eight of Clubs, your rising card.
Mm-hmm.
In the back of the compatibility thing in Robert Camp's love cards, he gives you actually numbers for the compatibility. And so I'm not sure about all his numbers or where he generates them from. I'm not, you know, I'm just questioning them a little bit, but I'll
mm-hmm.
but I'll look them up for you and let's see what they say.
Thank you.
When your card meets the Ace of Spades, there's a high level of attraction. Your level of argument is a 3, and that's about it. You shouldn't go any more for a 3. For arguing, you know, you shouldn't have any more intensity. The 3 is about the max that you can handle. And the compatibility, his overall compatibility, he gives you guys a 1. But 1 is okay because it goes all the way to like negative 8. So 1
mm-hmm.
means you guys could be friends and there's a lot you have to talk about. You know,
mm-hmm.
so 1 is not bad because it doesn't go up that high. But a 3 is, you're really looking for a 3 in that in terms of marriageability. But like I said, you guys are dealing with each other's rising face, and that's absolutely, you guys are connected to Venus both ways in that. So there's a lot of love there. Now I just want to look at your chart for the year really quick and see if his card is on your destiny line for this year. Have you guys been together a while?
Yes, about 20 years almost.
20 years, oh my God, a long time. Okay, see, I see that in a lot of marriages, and it's not like people say, oh, that's, you know, I'm connected to the face that he shows the world, that's not really him. Well, a lot of people deal like that, and I've seen a lot of successful marriages deal on that level with each other. And that's what's going on. So let's see, 48, and he is on your chart this year. He's in your Mars this year. With the 9 of Spades above it, you guys are okay and everything this year?
Uh-huh, I think so, yeah.
Okay, good. The 9 of Spades is a little bit of a tricky card because it kind of asks you to give something up, and then underneath the card that he's asking you to give up is his card, the Ace of Spades. So could be some, you know, some transitions this year or whatever. Just look for those. But, you know, 20 years, it seems like you guys are pretty secure.
Yeah, we've been through a lot, that's for sure.
Been through a lot, yeah. His card is a fabulous card. The Ace of Spades is the most spiritual card in the deck, but it's also the most materialistic card. They love the material world. But yet they're spiritual people, but sometimes it's hard to see their spirituality. You have to really know them
mm-hmm.
to realize how spiritual they are because they love to deal so much in the material world. But aces are just fabulous because aces are really like, you know, when you meet an ace person, you don't really need to, an ace doesn't need anybody else to really feel actualized. They're very
mm-hmm.
secure in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's...
Well, yeah, and this has been a very spiritual year, so maybe even more so than materialistic.
For him.
So that's kind of interesting.
It's for, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a very
really
spiritual card.
Searching out spirituality, you know, issues.
Searching it out for this year. Yeah, and for you, because that Ace of Spades, it's really the Magi card, and it's on your chart this year. So it's going to be asking you to get involved in some spiritual information. Let me look in what it says, the Ace of Spades in Mars, in Robert's book, which is where you have it. It says, this card can represent a secret love affair or marriage, especially for women. Huh? There could be involvement in secret work or investigative work, because the Ace of Spades is kind of a secret card. That's why they're bringing that up. This can also mean a secret shared with a male or a desire to delve into the inner mysteries of life. The Ace of Spades in Mars is probably the most passionate and aggressive combination of influences possible. With this powerful card in this position, you have the drive and ambition you need to excel at anything you do. You might find many answers to your problems by applying a spiritual approach. Just be careful not to overdo things during this period. Excessiveness can be dangerous at times. But this card is really asking you to get into the spiritual side of life. The Ace of Spirits.
For myself?
For yourself. It's on your chart this year.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because it feels like I'm working so much that I've kind of lost that side of myself.
Uh-huh, because you have that Ten of Spades work card on your chart so strongly this year in such a significant position. I'm looking at your husband's chart. He's 49 this year?
50.
Oh, he's 50 this year. Mm-hmm. Was last year a difficult year for him?
The last several years, I think, have been difficult.
Kind of difficult because he had a lot of nines on his chart last year. He was dealing with a lot of nines, and nines are the card that really, the nine hits your chart and the nine says, okay, this is, you know, you're doing this something for a long time and it's been great for you in your life. It's really helped you. But now you've gotten to a point where that thing that you've done for a long time is no longer good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really going to ask you to give up. And your husband had many of those on his chart last year when he was 49. He had the Nine of Hearts, but that was just in Mercury, so that was a quick thing. A Nine of Diamonds and two Nine of Clubs. So when you see four of the same cards, you really know that there's something going on. This year he only has two Nines on the chart. That's good. And his Six of Clubs is his long-range card, so that's really going to keep him doing whatever he's doing. He's going to be doing it this year because of Six of Clubs. So
Yeah.
Okay, well, it was great talking to
you. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you spending the time with me, and this was wonderful. A lot to think about.
Great. Thank you for calling so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Both of you be blessed. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Well, Madam Sestiva, sounds like you nailed that one right on the head. It's an incredible thing that you do there with the, flipping through those books and also just a lot of information that you retain in your head. I want to thank you. We're coming down to the end of this show. I don't know if there's somebody else out there. Don said we could go a little over if we wanted to. If there is another person out there that would like to get a reading this evening, I got to hear that beep in the next 2 minutes, or we're just going to call it an evening. You've been listening to, what have you been listening to? Oh, it's Sunday. Yes, you've been listening to Mission Possible Radio Hour, and I am your host, the boss, RJ, and we were just had Madam Sestiva, the card reader extraordinaire, on this evening. It is a pleasure for me to come every Sunday to you, and you know the times and days. As I watch the gold price go up, I want you all to be aware that there's lots of changes coming, and to pray hard that you have the right decisions and that you make the right decisions about what to do next. And don't hesitate to listen to Mission Possible every Sunday and Inside Hour. Know that Dr. Leonard Horowitz is launching his newest DVD, In Lies We Trust. So go to drleonardhorowitz.com and check out the information and get yourself a DVD. It's his gift to the world so that we can begin to prepare for the nonsense that may come or may not come as these men make their final attempt at trying to take over. We're going to stop them, and that's why the mission is possible, because with God all things are possible. So use everything that is at your fingertips, your computer, your phone, everything. Keep in touch with people. Keep in touch with your family. Remember what I said about that money in the bank. Don't let it sit there in that bank and become useless. Put it into work. Put it to good use. Give it to your kids now so that they can do the things that buy some seeds, start a garden, do what you need to do, and remember, the mission is possible. And I'll see you back here, same time, same bat channel, bbsradio.com. I love you all. Have a great week, and aloha.